We come into the house of the Lord to experience God together. Let us prepare our hearts and minds.
God is good.
All the time.
We are here together and greet you in the name of the one who brings us together, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, bless your heart for coming out in this rainy weather. We encourage you to please take the time to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We have a lot of activities and opportunities this week and today. Be sure to look at the salmon-colored sheets to see what God is doing in the life of this congregation, and we encourage you to be a part of that. Today, as we worship, we're calling this Experiencing God Sunday. Several who have been participating in the Experiencing God studies gathered for breakfast this morning in a time of sharing, and we have four individuals who are coming later in the service to offer personal testimonies and reflections about what they experienced while experiencing God. So we're excited for them and their willingness to share, and invite you to approach this worship service considering the ways that you have heard God speak in your own life and in your own way. Let us continue to worship with the hearing and the reading of Scripture.
Our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, a very fitting scripture passage for this Earth Day weekend. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us this morning, that we may abide in you and live in your love. We lift this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
The setting, a Hawaiian luau. A crime has been committed. Much more than a crime, a heist has been committed. Who did it? If I piqued your interest, I encourage you to stop at the table as you leave this morning or next Sunday and purchase your tickets for Saturday, May 6th, the Hawaiian heist presented by our youth group as a mission trip fundraiser for our trip to Vermont. It will be a night of food. It will be a night of drama. It will be a night of whodunit. It will be a night of you become a detective because you've got to figure out who committed the heist. The youth have been working hard on this, and we look forward for you being a part of this evening, Saturday, May 6th, at here in the Fellowship Hall at 5:30 p.m. The meal will include Polynesian chicken, rice, tropical fruit, pineapple upside-down cake, salad, more and more. I can't think of the whole menu off the top of my head, but it will be a wonderful night of food and fellowship. We also will be doing, as a part of that, a service silent auction where our mission trip team members are offering up services that you could bid on that they will carry out for you in the coming months. It will be a night of fun. Tickets are $12 a piece, and they will be on sale this Sunday and next Sunday. We've already sold about 10 or 12 out there this morning. Stop by the tables you leave this afternoon, or you can buy them tonight as well. Or if you forgot your checkbook, you can bring it next Sunday. There'll be youth out in the foyer next Sunday as well. But it will be a night of fun, and we look forward to you being a part of our time of mystery, our time of fellowship, and our time of food. If you can, stand and join us in singing our offertory hymn, number 502, Open My Eyes That I May See. Father God, as we come to you, help us to be generous givers, not just with the money, but also our lives, that we might make a difference not only within these walls here at First Baptist Elon, but in the community in which we live. We ask this through your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who gave all that we might know what true life, a full life, feels like. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
to hear again the word of God from Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we put our trust in you. We are tempted, whichever way we look, to put our trust in other things, things of the world, things that boast a false trust and strength. Forgive us for when we are misguided and misdirected, and when our trust is misplaced. Help us to be true and committed and honest and faithful to and with you in all that we say and do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. experiencing God, were invited to volunteer to share a little bit about what they learned, what they gained, and how they were challenged. There are four individuals who are going to come and share, and I'm just going to invite them to share in the order that they are listed there in your program, which I think means Amy gets to go first.
During the Experiencing God study, one of our focuses was what God was calling us to do in groups he was calling us to minister to. We looked at scripture, at Dr. Blackaby's experiences and listened to God, and the others in our small group. Most of you know that I'm a special education teacher and love working with children. Throughout this study, many people have come to me and said that they feel we are being called to minister to families who have children with special needs. I've often thought that this may be something we could do as a church. This population is one of the most underserved in the nation in churches. Our church family is blessed with many people who work with these families every day. I feel that God has brought us together for a reason. We can offer these families a welcoming place to worship and to learn about God. I don't know where this will lead us, but I'm excited about what God is doing and will do through us. Another week, our focus centered on using our places of work and everyday interactions with people to minister to people. I thought, this is going to be hard for me. I work in a public school. But one of my fifth grade boys showed me how wrong I was. His sister had gotten some in trouble with her teacher, and we were talking about it at lunch one day. He said, "Miss Harrison, my sister wants you to be in your class for extra help like me." I told him, "She's in first grade. I don't work with the younger kids." He said, "Well, she can't wait to get to third grade because you're nice. You have Jesus in your heart." I almost started crying right there. I haven't ever talked to him about Jesus. But I show him every day that I care about him by listening to him, by asking about his family, and by showing how he is able to be successful. My students often teach me more than I teach them. That day, it was. Sometimes Francis Assini is right. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I want to take this opportunity, too, to thank you all for doing the Experiencing God study. I did it before when I was younger, but did it again this time just to see how God was speaking in my life, and he still is, and thank you for being wonderful examples for me to follow every day. Thank you.
The last Bible study I was in was our women's Bible study in the fall, and it was on joy. And at the end of each lesson, we always found something to be joyful about. Experiencing God was not the same thing. It is sometimes hard for us to hear God speaking to us and saying things we don't particularly want to hear. For instance, you cannot say Lord and no in the same sentence. Because if he is Lord, you don't say no. If you say no, he is not Lord. And if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, you must love your neighbor, whoever that is. I've got to admit that there was one morning I got up and I said, I cannot do this study today. I'm going to skip today and I'll finish up on Saturday. Sometimes we don't want to hear what the Lord is saying to us. But in about the fifth week on a Thursday morning, I discovered something that I perhaps had been looking for all my life, and I found it. Let me tell you that story. When I was a junior in high school, I went forward one Sunday morning to the altar to dedicate myself to full-time Christian service. Well, I had a plan for that kind of life. I was going to college. I was going to major in religious education. I was going to get a job in a church, and I was going to marry a preacher. Well, I went my first freshman year. That was exactly what was on my mind. In fact, I even went out with a couple of ministerial students my freshman year. At the end of my freshman year, I had the opportunity to go work at a church in Wilmington. My job was to have 3 activities and Bible studies for the youth a week and to gather material for a church directory. I did those things. But I also did The ministers work sometime, the secretaries work a lot, the organist work, the janitors work, and at the end of that summer, I was a very disillusioned young lady. Have I said I want to do this for the rest of my life? And I went back my sophomore year at Wake Forest, and I worked as a student worker in the office of Dr. Robert Dyer. He was a religion professor who had served as a missionary to China, and he knew I was kind of discombobulated about what I wanted to do with my life. And he came one afternoon and sat down beside me, and he said, Janie Dale, because that's what I was called then, he said, all Christians are called to be full-time Christian servants, and you do not have to be employed by a church. That freed me. I changed my major. I became a teacher. I did not marry a preacher, but I married a fine Christian man. And you know the rest of the story. I really felt like God has put me where he wanted me to go. But you see, I had to find that out. And I'm convinced through that Thursday morning study that God put me in that church that summer to let me know that it was not my plan that was important, because I had one, but it was his plan, and he had other things in mind for me to do. See, it's not always the first thing that we think we should do is God's plan. We sometimes think the first thing we should do is my plan. So I realize now that God still has a plan for my life, just like he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for this church. I can say in this study, I truly experienced God. And ladies in the Bible study, wherever you are, and I found joy.
Well, unlike Janie, I didn't set out to marry a preacher. But I married a woman whose mother set her up to marry a preacher. Well, Lisa took piano lessons as a young girl. She's like, Mom, why do you want me to take piano lessons? And she said, because one day you're going to marry a preacher, and every preacher's wife needs to know how to play the piano. So needless to say, Lisa didn't marry a preacher, but I'm glad she married me. This study was challenging and it was hard, just like Janie said, but nothing that makes you grow is going to be easy. What I really liked about the study were a number of things, and mine is a little general, but the whole study in itself was encouraging. And I want to say this up front, my group, we had a great group, and Corey Lindsay and I were elected to be the leaders of our group, and it was the easiest leadership responsibility I'd ever had on one hand, because I didn't feel like I had to prepare a lot. Because once you got the ball rolling, you started discussing and sharing, you didn't have to do anything but sit back and enjoy and listen and participate and grow. And in our group with Corey and I were Kathy Hines, Colleen Russell, Jan Ekman, Debbie Wall, Kim Smith, Alec French, Susan Harrington, John Farnham, and Claire Thompson. And I want to thank all of you for encouraging me. Because there were weeks that I didn't want to do the study too, but I thought, well, I'm kind of a leader. I better be prepared when I get there. And so that encouraged me and spurred me along to get prepared and to do the study. But I think what the study did for me is it caused me to read the Bible with a purpose and to look for things. It caused me to study deeper. I remember one week Debbie Wall came to our group, and one of the scriptures that it had us read for a purpose and answer some questions, she had dove into that scripture, and she had more and more questions about it. And I think that's exciting. It's exciting when we, to read the Bible and open and read it is nice and everything, but we need to be reading it with a purpose in mind, and we need to question things, and we need to look deeper and search. So that gave me encouragement. We need to think, too, from page 72 in Unit 4, Day 1, we forget sometimes about how great God is to us and how many roles he plays in our lives. The Hebrews had this down. They gave God different names based on what he had done for them. But looking back at some of these names helps me to think and praise and worship God for everything he's done. Our health, Psalm 33:20, righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4:8, Lord of the harvest, Lord of light, the most holy, my Savior, sovereign Lord, my support. Boy, we all need that, don't we? My helper, my friend, my redeemer, my Savior. It got me encouraged more to pray more. This totally blew me away in Unit 5. I never thought about prayer in this way. But one of the scriptures that had us read and study was Romans 8, 26 and 27. And it said, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Well, how often do we get there in our lives? We don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And I never thought about the concept that you need to get together with the Holy Spirit and say, what should I pray? I didn't think about that. I just thought about our prayer as a conversation with God. I never thought about asking God how to pray, or God, you've laid it on my heart to pray this, or God, you know what I need to pray for. The fact is, God already knows everything. He knows our concerns. He knows our worries. He knows the things that are weighing on our mind to the point that we can ask him how to direct our prayers. That part blew me away. The talking part encouraged me to talk. Lisa was in another group. Claire was in my group. We would talk about this at home. A lot of times we talk about how hard it was, and I don't want to do it this week. But, you know, we did it, and we gained from it, and it drew us closer as a family spiritually to talk about different things. And also the doing. One other thing that blew me away, the first unit, was watching to see what God is doing in his work around us and how often I fail to do it because I'm so busy doing things that don't matter. Sometimes we just need to stop, and we need to look, and we need to listen for those signs of God around us. During spring break, we took Claire down for an informal visit to UNC Wilmington, and she didn't want to go on a formal tour, and they were booked anyway, and we barely found a parking space, but we're walking around at UNC Wilmington, and we didn't really talk to anybody, but the campus is full of kids, and the least likely person to reach out and speak to somebody in our group is Lisa, and right before we were to leave campus, Lisa, this girl comes almost running past us in a hurry to go somewhere, and Lisa's like, do you like going to school here? And that girl turned around and stopped and talked to us for a few minutes. But you know, one of the first things that she mentioned that she's involved with Young Life. And Claire's been involved with Young Life for the last couple of years. Great Christian organization for kids, not only in high school but in college, and now middle school too. That girl said, well, there's the Young Life leader is sitting right in the corner of that building right there. It's like 50 feet away. We went and talked to her. That's encouraging for us as parents. We only have one child. She's going to go to college in a couple of years. That she can go somewhere, no matter where she chooses to go, if there's Young Life there, she'll be surrounded and encouraged by other Christians in her faith. And it's really encouraging to us. My takeaways from this study, and I'll be brief, because he said I only had like 12:30 or 12:45. sorry about that. But my takeaways is that it really built Christian community within our church to get together and talk about stuff. I've been a Sunday school teacher or substitute or assistant Sunday school teacher for a long time, and I've always been in the mindset that we need to get away from lecture-type teaching. We need to have cooperative teaching or more discussion. How do you spur discussion? Well, this course did it, and we need to do more things like this because it helps us to do what the New Testament encouraged us to do. It helps, you know, the Acts is that, actually the Apostles said the early church had all things in common. But I think this study helped us to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, pray without ceasing, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds, just like it says in Hebrews. That's what the study did for me. Thank y'all.
I've not been up here before. I just wanted to hitchhike on what Phil said here about the small group that we had. That was really a wonderful experience. I'm relatively new in the congregation, and I've seen faces, familiar with a lot of faces, but I didn't have many names to go with those faces. And now there's 11 more people that I got a name to go with them. And that was a great experience. I would put the caveat out here that not only my wife and I, but I think the rest of the group would say they love their normal Sunday school class, but this was a very positive change. It's almost like when you think about the meals that you eat, you definitely don't like to eat the same meal every day, every meal. Variety is an attribute that we all value. And this was a change that was very, very pleasant. The small groups, let me just mention the names in the small group that I was in was Ethan Lindsay, Janie Brown, Linnea Allred, David Wall, Tammy Ferguson, Jennifer Durham, and Samuel for a while, and Dreema Howard, Mike Harrington, and Garland, and Judy Tickle. In an experience like that, you end up getting very close to people. And there were so many lessons in the course of the 13 weeks, 13th being 14, I guess, counting. It was 13 with today, that's right. So many great lessons, and I could bring the book up here and give you a few of them, but I would rather just end up saying, what did I take away from this study? And God really weighed on my heart a point we've already made, that he pursues a love relationship with me and with you. And that kind of hit me because when I thought about it, I was performing a prayer that, yes, with my relationship with God, but it was the love I showed in my prayer life, in many respects, was the love of me. I was praying those requests that we have, and a lot of times missing the opportunity for worship and listening. And it really drove it home to me that I needed to make an adjustment in my life as I thought about what I am really showing, that I too want that love relationship that God pursues. And the second point that was really driven home to me was that it was not perfect, but I also wandered. You think about your spiritual walk with the Lord, and you've all experienced mountaintops and valleys. I think. I know I have. And I struggle with that, but one of the lessons got us and turned us to Luke 15. And there Jesus tells three stories or parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The sheep, why do sheep get lost? Because they get distracted. The grass is a little greener over here. Oh, it's even better over there. The lost coin, how does it get lost? Carelessness. Nobody loses a coin on purpose. On carelessness. And the lost son, how does the lost son, which we understand is a prodigal son, the lost son gets lost by choice. And as I thought about that, I think I've experienced all three of those areas. And God said, stop your wandering. Get serious. And so it's a battle, no doubt, I'll face every day. But I know that if I don't have my quiet time in the morning, there's a risk it won't get done that day. Because everything preys on that time. And this is the second time we've gone through this study, but it was worth every bit of the investment in time. While I have the guilt of all those three reasons for experiencing some of the valleys, at least I hope I can concentrate on winning two or three of those battles that I would normally lose. This was a great study. I wish more of us would have been there, but we'll have more opportunities. That's my prayer. Thank you.
I want to thank those four for sharing, but I also want to not cut off anything that the Lord is doing in your own life. I know sometimes you're hesitant to volunteer or to jump right out there and say, yeah, I'd like to speak or talk or share. But I wanted to take this opportunity just to open this up a bit more for anyone else who participated in the Experiencing God study, or even the 24-hour prayer vigil, which was in many ways an offshoot of what we were learning from Experiencing God. If you'd like to just share, you don't have to make a speech. In fact, if you don't want to come up to the pulpit, we do have a microphone we can bring to you. Just raise your hand or come on up, either way. Would anybody else like to share something from their experience?
I didn't do the Experiencing God, but did the prayer vigil. And last year I got blamed for going to sleep during it. But I actually was praying. And it's, you know, all kidding aside, when you're in that mode of just praying, nothing else matters. And this past time when we did it, I went through some of the sheets. But I started thinking of all the things to pray for. You were talking about opening up to the Spirit and trying to find where you're supposed to be. And that's hard sometimes to open up. And it's hard to get those distractions out because we're all human. We all got thoughts and we have memories and things. But just to focus on, okay, where am I supposed to be right now? And so for me, and I have the crazy world like all you guys have. We all have crazy worlds. And the truth of it is we're all so busy we don't even know what to do most of the time. But that time when you do stop, and I wish I could say I could do it every day, and I don't. But I do try to do it while I'm riding down the road or thinking about this or running into somebody. But that time, I don't know what it is about this sanctuary, it can bring a tear to your eye. Because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're in God's house. And so for me, sometimes to stop and do that is a blessing. So thanks for that opportunity, and sorry for you that had to stay here all the time and the different ones and monitor, make sure nobody was coming in on us. So I appreciate that, but thank you for the opportunity to stop.
Garland's got the microphone. Anybody else? Let me get Paula and then Judy.
I just wanted to share something that happened with me this week. A lot of you use the daily devotional called The Word. And a word for today, and in that on Thursday, it was telling the story of Moses and how he was equipped by God for what he needed to do. God said, when he asked Moses to do his activities, God said, Moses, of course, said, I can't, but he's told Moses, look what's in your hand. And there was a staff in Moses' hand because he was a shepherd. And just think of all the things that Moses did with that staff because God made it possible. So I think we all need to, from the experiencing God, God is speaking to us all the time. And the first thing we usually want to say is, let me think about it, or let me pray about it. We talked about that this morning. That's a good signal that it might not happen. But remember, if God's going to ask you to do something, he has already equipped you with the tools that you need to do it. So think about Moses with that staff.
Yeah, I'll pray about it. That a lot of Christians joke, that's the Christian version of stalling, because you don't want to do it. I'll pray about that.
I learned something about the people in my group that I never imagined might have came up the way I did. And we all have something in our lives that we need to go to him for. And we can be used. I think what I got out of this is every day, every relationship, he wants to use us. We are his hands and feet to show his love, forgiveness. And the biggest thing I got is, Lord, use me. Every day, use me to glorify you. And I got away with stresses in my life, taking care of my first husband. I was so tired. And I told God when I got over this what I was going to do. I didn't say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I told him. Well, he turned me around. And he put this precious man in my life that brought me closer to him like I was before my husband got sick. And I am so thankful. And I came to this church leaving my church family that I'd had for years. And I thought, oh, I miss him. And Garland would take me back occasionally. But I love my church family here. Every one of you are special. And I pray that God will use all of us to do his will in this world and the community that he puts us in.
I don't know if y'all have ever picked up on this, but Judy really likes Garland. We do have a time for one more if anybody else.
So we didn't do the experience. Is it okay if I sit down? Because
sure,
I'm really nervous right now. We didn't do Experiencing God, but Webb and I this year decided to do the 24-hour prayer vigil, and we did it together. And if you don't kind of know our story and where we are right now, Webb and I have become foster parents with hopes to adopt our next child. And we have another precious 3-year-old girl with us, which is very sweet but very exhausting at times. And just some background and backstory to this, we've been praying about adopting for really since Adeline was born. And we looked at lots of different avenues, but decided like this was where we wanted to go. This is where we felt like we were being called to go with the foster system. But it's been very hard. I was telling Jennifer just a little bit ago that she comes with foster social care workers. She comes with therapists. She comes with biological parents, just lots of people. And we've been very, just in best words, stressed out with just trying to keep everything going and wondering if we're doing the best thing for her, being with us. Are we too hard on her? Are we too easy? So anywho, we got here on the 24-hour prayer vigil, and the whole way here we were like, are we doing the right thing? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? And getting here and just spending time with God and praying for her biological family, which is sometimes hard to do, it really just made us feel a lot better. Like, we are listening to you. We are doing what you're asking us to do, and we're going to have to continue doing that. We don't know where things are going to go with her, and we don't know what our story is going to end like, but we're just continuing to follow God, and I just ask that all of y'all continue to pray for us, continue to pray for her, her birth family, and it's exciting to hear all the things that God are doing through y'all, and then continue to do through us, so thank you.
I think that we should be encouraged by the way God is working in the lives of the members of this church. And I think also, not simply encouraged, but challenged. Not everybody participated in experiencing God. Some had very good reasons. Others maybe were just afraid or immobilized by tradition. Not everybody participated in the 24-hour prayer vigil. In fact, we were 8.5 hours short. And that is even with a lot of people doing 2 sessions and some even 3 and 4 sessions of prayer. So be challenged by that too, I think, and ask ourselves, what did we miss because we were unwilling or distracted or careless or made a choice? I appreciate what Warner said about how the ways that we can get lost. As we close this time, we invite you to respond to what you've heard and what you've experienced, both through testimony, through scripture, through song, and through times of silence and prayer, as we sing together our hymn of response, Trust and Obey. Please stand if you're able. Standing, and we invite you to receive this blessing as we prepare to go. We do not find Jesus, but he finds us. May the Master find you this week and bless you and give you peace and give you joy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.